Kartik classes, 2009. This is the 10th class in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the conclusion of the chapter in Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then he'll begin Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, the few verses that he discusses about it. He's kind of repeating things here, talking about Gyan, Karma, and Bhakti. And this is text 261. Krishna mukam swayam yanti yama sochara yastata hityesham cha nayukta syad bhaktyangantara patita. The basic rules of conduct, yama niyama, the rules of cleanliness and other actions appear automatically in those who are extremely dedicated to Krishna. Thus, these particular qualities are not included as limbs or angas of bhakti, cleanliness and proper behavior and following rules, regulations. These are not actually bhakti. They come automatically. And there's an interesting purport. Mukunda Das Goswami observes that these qualities, like proper behavior, doing the right thing, cleanliness, etc., they spontaneously appear in the lives of those who take up Krishna Bhakti. And then he cites some yamas. We have yama niyama, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. So this is in Uddhava Gita, in 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Krishna is telling Uddhava. He said, these are 12 types of basic rules of conduct. Ahimsa, non-violence. Satyam, truth. Asteya, non-stealing. Modesty, ri. Non-saving or non-accumulation. In other words, don't over-collect. That's asanchaya. Non-association or solitude, asanga. In other words, we shouldn't just stay by ourselves somewhere because it's very difficult to advance without being anugatya, an association of advanced devotees. 7, belief in the existence of God, astikya. Then brahmacharya, which is 8, abstinence from sexual intercourse, called brahmacharya. 9, observance of silence, mon. 10, calmness in the midst of conflicts, styria. 11, forbearance or forgiveness, shama. 12, fearlessness, abhay. These are 12 forms of yama. Then again, there are 12 forms of niyam, or self-discipline. They are 1. Physical cleanliness, baya shocha, which means external cleanliness of the body. 2, internal cleanliness, antara shocha, which means mental purity. 3, faith or reverence, shraddha. 4, inaudible uttering of prayers, that means silently chanting, that means japa. 5, religious austerities or penances, means fasting, tapas. Then 6 is Vedic sacrifices or ritualism. That means yajnas or homas. Hospitality, atithya. That means giving food to guests, especially some unknown person comes to visit you, and giving him water and kind words and a sitting place and food. Hospitality. 8, worship of the Lord, archan. 9, pilgrimage, tirtha brahmana. It means wandering around the holy places, brahmana. Endeavor to render good to others, parahita cheshta. Cheshta means endeavors or activities, and hita means for the benefit, hita karano. And para means others. Do good things for help other people, charity and welfare works, etc. That's number 10. 11 is contentment, tushti. And 12 is guru seva, service of the spiritual master. So these are yamas and non-yamas, niyamas. And then he says, as another commentary here, according to Rishi Patanjali, who has written a lot about yoga, pranayama and yoga, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, he says the five are called yama. These are the five yamas of the yoga system. Ahimsa, nonviolence. Satyam, truth. Non-stealing, asteya. Abstinence from sexual intercourse, brahmacharya. And vow of non-acceptance of anything from anybody. That's pretty good. Aparigraha. Those are the yamas in the following five niyamas. Purity, shocha. Contentment, santosh. Austere penances, tapas. Study of the Vedas, swadhyaya. And divine contemplation, Ishvara pranidhan. So he calls it divine, but it means actually, pranidhan means to pranidhan, means to fix your attention on Ishvara, on the Lord. These are from the Patanjali Sutras, chapter, part 2, chapter 30, verse 31. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti, he raises a doubt or a question in his mind, which is often prevalent amongst the assembly of devotees. These yamas, these good behavioral qualities, and these physical behaviors, truth and modesty and purity and brahmacharya and cleanliness and all these good qualities, internal and external, mental and physical, they automatically come to a devotee. So someone may ask a question. Vishwanath poses this question. He said, should the devotees in whom good qualities don't appear on their own, should they be considered to be non-devotees? In other words, if you say that if someone's a devotee, then he automatically, without separate endeavor, he automatically displays or exhibits all these yamas and niyamas, these good qualities and behaviors and conduct. So therefore, the converse is true. If someone is posing as a devotee, and he doesn't have good conduct, and he doesn't have cleanliness and all these things, forbearance, that means he's not a devotee. This is the question he's asking. So then he says like this, and he points out a possible doubt. When it is stated that yama and niyama spontaneously awaken in those who turn to Krishna and perform bhakti, does it not then follow that those in whom yama and niyama are lacking, they must be averse to Krishna and not performing Krishna bhakti? And then Vishnu says, no, you can't say that those that are lacking in yama or niyama are actually not devotees. But you can say, because Rupa Goswami is saying, someone who is actually extremely absorbed in Krishna, then the good qualities spontaneously appear. For example, in New York in 1966, Prabhupada told the devotees to take out a piece of paper and a pen. He said, I'm going to tell you the 26 qualities of devotee. I think I gave you that list. So write these 26 down, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 26 qualities of a devotee: silent, expert, poetic, kind, humble, clean, does not possess more than required, does not eat more than required. All these good qualities: forbearance, compassion, religiousness, etc. So then Prabhupada had the devotees write them down, and he said, you should all try to develop these qualities. So then the question was asked, well, do we have to separately endeavor or try to, now I want to be clean, now I want to be compassionate? And Prabhupada said, yes, you should think about these qualities and you should try to exhibit them, but actually they automatically come. This question is always asked sometimes with devotees. Do I have to do anything separate? No, but what you do have to do with your own energy and the application of your own endeavor and mental control and hard work is we have to try to become pure devotees of Krishna. We have to try to become Krishna Unmukham Swayam. This means, this phrase, this verse says, Krishna Unmukham Swayam Yanti Yama Shocha Adi Yastaha. He says, one is Krishna Unmukha, that his, basically it means that he has one face, Krishna Unmukha. His face is only looking at Krishna. When our face is fixed on Krishna, then we're called extremely absorbed in Krishna. For a devotee who is extremely absorbed in Krishna, Krishna Unmukha, then automatically the yamas and niyamas manifest in him, all the good qualities without any separate endeavor. But until, so this is the answer to the question, because some people say, oh, I just chant Hare Krishna, why I have to worry about the 26 qualities of devotee? Why I have to try to be compassionate or patient or tolerant or clean or silent or expert, all these things? You just chant Hare Krishna, then everything will come all right. So Vishnu says that, yeah, yes, it's a fact. Automatically, when one becomes Krishna Mukha, fully absorbed in Krishna, then all these good things come. He has internal and external cleanliness, and he's always engaged in japa, and he has faith, and he's performing, he has hospitality, he's going on pilgrimage, he's doing good to others, he's always truthful, nonviolent, modest, shy, doesn't associate, he's always mixing with devotees, he doesn't steal, he's not over-accumulating anything. So this is one point that Rupa Goswami is telling, because again, we're talking about the comparison. These last 10 verses are all about the comparison of jnana, karma, and bhakti. Karma includes yoga, and jnana also is yoga. Because in these pursuits, especially in the path of yoga, jnana marg or yoga marg, what are the 8 limbs? There's 8 steps on a yogic ladder, and the first 2 are called yama niyama. Yama niyama, then asan, and then there's pranayama, and pratyahara, and then dharana, then dhyanam, dhruvana smriti, and samadhi. So these are the potential, these yoga system, the ashtanga system, or gyan marg of yoga. The first 2 limbs are yama niyama. These different, and that's, and Rupa Goswami is saying, bhakti, we don't get, what is the first 2 limbs of bhakti? Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, the first limb of bhakti is guru parashraya. Says Guru Parashraya, there's 64 limbs of devotion mentioned on the Bhakti Marg. The first 2 limbs on Bhakti are Guru Parashraya and then Shiksha Diksha Adinam. This begins first in their Shiksha, then Diksha, that's the second, third, and fourth one is Vishrambena Gurur Seva, to serve the Guru. There's no mention of Yama Niyama. On the Bhakti Marg, as he's trying to distinguish here, their Yama Niyama are not separate angas, are not limbs of devotion. They're automatic. They automatically come to a devotee. But a yogi, someone's on Gyan Marg, or Yog Marg, they have to diligently and personally become aware of the yamas and niyamas and strictly try to follow them so they can develop good conduct, good behavior, meditation, etc. So this is a speciality of bhakti, that, and one should not think, oh, these are limbs. There's eight limbs on the Yoga Marg, eight steps on the yoga ladder. First through yama niyama. And they say, what about bhakti? Do you have yama niyama? Yeah, we don't pay attention. It comes automatically. He's saying it comes automatically. But not to everyone. It comes automatically to Krishna Mukha, someone who's very attached to and very absorbed in Krishna. And until we come to that level, which basically we're talking about asakti, when one comes to the level of ruchi and asakti, then he automatically, all these things are within him. We don't have to separately endeavor. What we have to endeavor for on the path of bhakti is bhakti, devotion, Krishna Anukulya. Learn to act favorably. Learn to act for the pleasure of Krishna, which may automatically include a lot of these things. But rituals and tapa and hospitality, and our hospitality is to give Krishna to everyone. That is our hospitality. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guru hanatare desh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, give them Krishna. How do we give them Krishna? That's the greatest hospitality. Give them a transcendental book. Give them the holy name. Give them an invitation to the love feast. Give them prasadam. This is the upadesh. What to speak and give the instructions of Krishna. To teach them. And give them the holy name. That's the greatest gift, the greatest charity. And if that's given, then everything else will be adjusted. If we simply do this, give people the holy name, they'll become truthful, they'll become brahmachari, they become content, tushti, they'll eventually serve, do guru seva, they'll become fearless, they'll become forgiving, they'll become silent. All these things automatically develop in a devotee. So he wants to establish that. If we're extremely absorbed, these qualities spontaneously come. So we don't make, the yogis on the Gyan Marg, or Karma Marg even, and the Yoga Marg, They're very careful to spend lots of time and put lots of energy into yama niyama. That's the foundation of their progress. Without having a strong foundation in yama niyama, rules of conduct and regulations, they can't go forward. They can't go anywhere. That's the foundation. But in bhakti, the foundation is sharanagati. Surrender, sharanagati. Shraddha, faith. Sharanagati, surrender. The more we surrender, the more our faith increases. And then engaging directly in limbs of bhakti, not in secondary practices of yama and niyama, good behavior. But sometimes you see devotees, they may not be very hospitable, and they may not be very good conduct, maybe not so clean, but they have the primary characteristic, the srupa lakshana. The srupa lakshana of a devotee, the primary characteristic, is his internal surrender to Krishna. How much he's surrendered, and how much he's thinking of Krishna. I can remember over the years, some devotees that we had in our temples, and I was president for a short time, so I became more observant of the devotees around me because I dealt so intimately with them as the servant of these devotees. And there were some devotees in the temple that got the label avadut. They were called avadut. It was a very common term, avadut. Of course, it has a very high meaning, but they weren't too particular about washing their clothes properly, and their behavior wasn't the greatest, and they didn't seem to be very much compassion or forbearing. But all the time they were reading Krishna book, and so much so that people would tell them to stop it. devotees that were so called clean and forbearing and exhibiting some gentlemanly and so called good conduct and good behavior. They say, come on, all the time you're reading Krishna book and asking questions from Krishna book and always chanting. Can't you relax and be in Maya for a little while? Show some good conduct and be in Maya? When they're very serious and very Krishna conscious and surrendered devotees. But oftentimes the most Krishna conscious and surrendered devotees are considered misfits or given a label avadut. Oh, he's avadut, which actually means he's Krishna conscious and more than any of us, and we can't deal with it, so we should give the dog a bad name and hang him, type of thing. Isolate him, give him a title and isolate him away from the herd or away from the crowd. Oh, he's avadut. But objectively, being the president, I try to be a little objective, that the one who was isolated or maybe even mocked or frowned upon was actually the one who was most Krishna conscious. It's like our story of South India, the Brahmin who was in the Sri Rangam temple. And he said, Ami Murka Vipra, I'm a foolish Brahmin. My guru has asked me to recite Gita every day, but I am not very talented in this shud and ashud, this correct, pure, impure pronunciation of the Sanskrit padas of Gita. But I'm doing it every day. I go to the temple every day. I read 18 chapters. But all the other pandas and brahmins in the temple, they'd all, oh, you stupid, you murka. You can't pronounce Sanskrit correctly. So they're mocking me. But I'm simply every day, this is my guru's order. I have full faith in my guru's order. And I'm doing it. And then sometimes when he finishes reading, he would close the Gita and he would look at the picture. There's a painting on the cover of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is driving the chariot for Arjuna, Parthasarathi. He's holding the reins, these leather straps that go to the mouth of the horse, they call the reins. Krishna is holding them, ready to follow the commands of Arjuna and manipulate and drive his chariot here and there in the battle. And he's holding the hands in one hand, and he's turning like this, speaking to Arjuna, Krishna, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This Murka Vipra, foolish Brahmin, he's looking at, after completing his Guru's Agya to read the 18 chapters, he's gazing at this painting and thinking, how wonderful, how amazing, how beautiful that the Lord, the Supreme Lord of everything, he becomes the chariot driver of his devotee. He becomes Parthasarathi, the Sarathi, the driver, the chauffeur of Arjuna. This is amazing. The Lord is so compassionate, so loving, and so surrendered to his devotee. And then he would start crying. His voice, the Brahmin's voice would become choked up, his throat, tears flowing from his eyes, and some trembling in his limbs. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for darshan of Sri Rangam, and he saw this Brahmin. He saw so many effulgent Brahmins, very big pundits and learned people over there. Big Brahmins in Sri Rangam. Well. So then, but his attention went to one person. He looked all around, big pundit, big tilak. I saw one small Brahmin, one Brahmin in the corner. He said, well, this is very strange. So Lord Chaitanya went up to that Brahmin, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm simply carrying out my Guru's order. I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. And then Lord Chaitanya embraced him with the embrace of his merciful love. And then he asked him, he said, because of course Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna. He said, oh Vipra, what part of Bhagavad Gita do you like the most? Because it's Lord Chaitanya's book, actually. Krishna's book. And which part affects you so much? And then he went on to explain about the painting. And when I see like this. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you really know the Bhagavad Gita. So he appeared to not be very much standard in his behavior or in his ability to recite the Gita, but he got the true mercy of the Lord. So this is the real essence of how much one surrendered to the Lord, how much faith one has, even, and then eventually all these good qualities and things will happen. So this is bhakti, how the bhakti is so powerful. All the yamas and niyamas, everything comes automatically within one. Even an inconceivable transformation. This is text 262. Ete na yad bhuta vyadha tva himsa dayo guna hari bhakto pavitta ye na te su paratapinam. This is I was just talking about the same point. Rupa Goswami citing Skanda Puran, verse from Skanda Puran, to show this idea about bhakti brings all good behavior independently of trying for good behavior. In the previous verse we just concluded about there's no need to worry about yamas and niyamas, good conduct, good behavior, because they automatically manifest in a devotee by the mercy of Bhakti Devi. They're not separate limbs of bhakti. You don't see anywhere yama niyama. You see Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. But in yoga path, that's the first two steps. Yama, niyama, asan, pranayama. He quotes Skanda Puran saying, there was once a hunter who gave up hunting wild animals after hearing from Rishi Narad. That was Mrigari, what we call Mrigari. So he started serving Krishna after hearing from Narada. And then once a saintly person came, said, oh, hunter, it is not really strange on your part that you stopped hunting and killing animals, because anyone who's engaged in the service of Lord Hari does not try to terrorize or cause suffering to others. Of course, that sage was Parvat Muni. Parvat Muni came one time with Narada Muni to visit this Mrigari. Rupa Goswami is citing this verse from Skanda Puran to further emphasize his point that conduct, good behavior, all these things are not separate limbs of bhakti. They don't have to be cultivated or even worried about, because as one becomes deeply absorbed in bhakti itself, then automatically yamas and niyamas, good behavior, conduct, forbearance, etc., manifest within him to the degree which he is deeply devoted to and absorbed in Krishna. And the word that Rupa Goswami uses is Krishnonmukha. Krishnonmukha. That basically means one face, one mouth. Krishnamukha means that our face is towards Krishna. Antak shudir vahi shudhi stappa shantyada yastata amiguna prapadyante hari sevabi kaminam. Skanda Puran says that physical purity means external cleanliness. Internal cleanliness means the mind. Austerity and contentment and other such qualities, they actually take shelter at the feet of devotees who are desirous of serving Hari. Hari seva kaminam. Amiguna prapadyante. These qualities actually surrender at the feet of the devotee. He doesn't have to look for them or cultivate them or develop them. It's almost like people are running everywhere to get money, to make money, and they have to catch it and collect it and work hard, and then someone gives it to them. But imagine if you just sit in your house and money comes knocking on your door. So you want money? Here, there's money. Piles of money just pile up in your doorstep. So the yogis and jnanis, they have to work hard to cultivate forbearance. And even the modern-day psychologists and psychiatrists, they have all these kind of, think and grow rich, or these success courses, or different courses on how to control your mind, and 7 steps to success. And they tell you to program your mind. You should say, yes, look in the mirror in the morning, say, I'm very peaceful. I'm really very peaceful. I'm a very peaceful person. I'm really tushti. I'm really content. I'm very, very content. I'm not disturbed. So he said it goes to that extent, and that devotee doesn't have to worry. He has to worry about how much he's hearing and chanting, and how much he's serving Vaishnavas, and how much he's hearing and studying Bhagavatam. That's his worry. And automatically, yama niyama, they come. They not only spontaneously develop within him, but they actually take shelter. They come and knock on his door and say, look, I want to live with you. I want to be with you. All good qualities. There's a word adi here that says that beginning with these things, antashudhir vahisad. He says, and not only all these good qualities, but also qualities as sweet, includes such qualities as sweet but true words, impartiality, truthfulness, and seeing with equal vision. These also come to a devotee. They come and take shelter, devotee. Vishnu says that those who are completely inclined to and engaged in the service of Lord Hari, to them only do all qualities like inner purity take shelter. Such a devotee does not develop these qualities by his spiritual practices, but the qualities automatically appear in their life and character as if seeking protection under such devotees. Very interesting. Bhakti is so powerful and so inclusive and comprehensive that everything comes to the devotee. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, everything comes by bhakti. Yama, niyama, all good behavior, good qualities, conduct. Sabhakti reka mukyanga ashitanaik kangi katava. Savasana anusarena nishtata siddhi kridbhavet. When, according to one's own normal propensities, an individual becomes nishta in bhakti, one can achieve the end of sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti by following any one of the primary angas or its many subordinate angas. So now he's talked about the superiority and speciality, vishesh gun, of bhakti compared to jnana and karma. Now he's focusing on bhakti itself and the conclusion of the sadhana bhakti chapter. He's saying ek mukhya anga. You can choose any one anga or many according to your preference. So there's 64 limbs of bhakti. So now he wants to say that just by practicing one limb of bhakti, you're going to attain everything, all perfection, by hearing, by chanting, etc. So what is this ek anga? Anga means limb or body, ek means one. Ek anga means when you take one limb of bhakti and you specialize in that over all the other ones. That becomes your primary activity, primary focus. You're always hearing about Krishna. Sometimes some of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, acharyas and famous preachers, they say that writing is my kirtan. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he called the book distribution of books and transcendental knowledge, he called this the Brihad Mridanga. Whereas kirtan and kol, this is the mridanga. Doesn't go very far, a few hundred meters. So he's talking about ekanga, one limb of devotion. Sri Vishnu Shravane. Now he cites, Rupa Goswami is saying, this is the principle. If you perform one limb of devotion, ekanga bhakti, you can attain perfection. So then someone might say, oh, really? Do you have any examples of that? Is there anyone who attained perfection by following one limb? Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Advavad Vyasaki Kirtane Prahlada Smarane Tadangri Bhajane Lakshmi Pritu Pujane Akuras Twa Abhivandane Kapipatir Dasyer Da Sakyerjana Sarvavast Atmana Nivedane Balir Abhut Krishna Tiresham Para. This is a Sanskrit verse from something most devotees have heard before so many times. It is said in the scriptures, ek anga, one form of devotion can give you perfection. And these are examples. Parikshit, King Parikshit, Sri Vishnu Shravanam. By hearing about Vishnu, he attained perfection. Vyasaki is Sukadev. He attained perfection by singing the qualities of Lord Vishnu, Kirtanam. Prahlad Smarane. Prahlad Maharaj, he attained perfection by remembering. He was doing Smaran, Narayan Smaran, always remembering the Lord. I mean, sometimes during tiffin hour in the school, he was engaged in Sankirtan. We hear that. He would give some class to his schoolmates, some Harikata, then he would have some Kirtan, Sankirtan. But that wasn't the primary thing he did. He didn't attain perfection by Sankirtan. He didn't attain perfection by chanting Hare Krishna or dancing or all these things. His perfection was Smaranam, always remembering the Lord. And it says here, Prahlad Smarane, Tadangri Bhajane, Lakshmi Pritu Pujane. Angri means feet. Worshipping the feet is Lakshmi Devi. She's always serving the feet of the Lord, Padasevanam. King Pritu attained perfection in worshipping Lord Vishnu, Archanam, Pritu Pujane. Akrura attained perfection offering prayers or vandanam to the Lord. Hanuman became perfect in serving the Lord. He was a great servant of Ram. Arjuna became perfect by his friendship, Sakyam. And Bali Maharaj in complete self-surrender, dedication, Atmanavedanam. By these individual means, Ekanga, all of them, all these devotees, attain Krishna in a most perfect way. And then there's some more discussion. Two more verses about Vaidhi Sadhana, then he begins his discussion of Raghunuga Bhakti, which we'll be able to get to in a couple of days.